Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the April 1st, 2010 episode of the TNT Open Forum. My name's Pete, call sign Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima, and I'm transmitting in the beautiful sunny Montreal, where it's presently 13 degrees Celsius, still 13. Sun just went down a few minutes ago, 55 degrees Fahrenheit. They're calling for a beautiful weekend here with highs in the 70s to 80 degrees. They're calling for 80 degrees on Saturday. It's unheard of. And since it's a long weekend, a lot of people will be off enjoying that good weather, I'm sure. So it is most welcome. Summer seems to be arriving early in many parts of North America this year, so we didn't have much of a winter here either, like many of you guys. All right, this is the South Cars. This is South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service, and the TNT Open Forum, which is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization. It further follows the rules of the FCC Part 97, most of the time, those of Industry Canada, and of course, good amateur practice. We try to follow the guidelines and regulations of all of the countries in which we transmit, to the best of our knowledge and ability, of course. The SCARS server is supplied by the Western Michigan privately owned repeater network, and we thank them for that. The TNT Net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate, of course, and ask questions of our guest speakers and of our hosts. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and on the digital side, which you're listening to right now. Isn't that beautiful? www.voip.southcars.com. I've already introduced myself. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. Prior to starting the net, and very appropriately tonight, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be addressed or handled at this time. Please come aboard now. All right, nothing being heard on a long pause. We'll proceed with announcements. NCS and administrative people are needed throughout the South Cars network. Please contact us at voip@southcars.com. We're particularly interested in acquiring NCS stations who reside outside of the United States in order to improve the international involvement and to reflect and participate in all of the international nets which are on the South Cars network. Worldwide hospitality people are also required to ask to act as ambassadors of goodwill. For further information, you may contact Dana, KB7DZM, again at the same address, voip@southcars.com. And please pay particular attention to the notes on the breaking news portion of our website, www.voip.southcars.com. As many things are changing, new net schedules, and a lot of the information include, but are not limited to, the outreach program, the hospitality program that I just mentioned, which is a great, great program, I think, sort of a Walmart greeters kind of program where we feel the new guys, let the new guys feel welcome, I mean. Let's not feel the new guys. They might not like that. Make them feel welcome when they present themselves on the server, and that's been quite successful to date from what I understand. And, of course, the expanded TNT Open Forum and Youth Forum, or Outreach Program, of course, which go hand in hand, which we are developing. So all this is in constant development, and please send us your input. You guys can be a part of the changes that are happening on South Cars. Let me pause. All right, we need your input, of course, for this show. Suggestions and topics for discussion on the open forum. Any and all topics of interest will be considered for our discussion, of course. We are not limited to subjects of a ham radio nature. We'll talk about anything that is of interest to the ham radio and to the South Cars community. Also, if you have a skill or topic of interest you want to share with us, give us a shout, and we'll be glad to have you on as a guest. So without further ado, let me find the right piece of paper, because I have too many on my desk, which is ridiculous, but normal around here. All right, so this evening we have a very, very special special presentation, the start of the changes that I was talking about that you guys have to go to the website to see. Well, tonight is the start of one of those new programs. Each Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, or what do you say, 0000 Zulu, midnight Zulu, anyways, 0 Zulu on Fridays, or 2000 Eastern Thursday night, and beginning tonight, of course, April 1st, the TNT Open Forum on SCARS will present a one-hour presentation on the basics of emergency preparedness, and these will be happening for the first on the first Thursday of every month. We invite you all to stay with us for the next few months. It's going to be really interesting. The forum will be presented from the point of view that participants know nothing or very little about preparing for severe weather or other types of disasters, which is good for the beginner and the advanced. So for those of you who are advanced, it'll be a good refresher, and those of you in the emergency preparedness field know that you can never have enough refreshers when it comes to any kind of preparedness. Questions during the presentation and suggestions for areas to be included are sought after and encouraged, of course, following the guidelines of the TNT Open Forum. The forum is open to all licensed amateur radio operators, of course, and their authorized guests, so that be your third-party traffic, fourth-party, fifth-party, if you want, as per your country's laws govern amateur radio. Comments and questions, the suggestions can be sent directly to our guest, who I will present in a second, and I'll give his email address at the same time so as not to spoil the surprise. Or you could just send them to VOIP@southcars.com. That's the default email address if you forget all others. So the presenter for this series, before I start, actually, I'd like to welcome the various co-producers, Craig, who's in there in the audience, Tony, of course, another dear co-producer, and Mike couldn't be with us, KD0CDQ, because of prior commitments, although he may be back early enough to join the open forum. And tonight's presentation, tonight's presenter, for the series on emergency preparedness is our very own Tony, KJ4PUJ. Welcome, Tony. Tony's an experienced public safety professional, having started his career in 84, where he served with the U.S. Air Force for 11 years of active duty, 9 years in the reserves, all within the military law enforcement and special operations communities. He's also worked as a police officer in Louisiana and Florida for a few years before becoming a federal officer in 1999. And he's been training, he has been a training officer for more than 20 years. Keep in mind that he is not being paid for these sessions on South Cars. Of course, this is amateur radio, so nobody pays anything for anybody. Nobody pays anybody for anything, I should say. So please keep in mind that he's not being paid for these sessions, and the views expressed are his alone, and not the views of his employer or any government entity, and further, do not reflect those of South Cars, but are his own. So with that, I'll welcome Tony, KJ4PUJ. Come on aboard. Give us a little introduction, and then we'll a little introduction to yourself, and then we'll get started on the topic. Over to you, Tony. Welcome.
KJ4PUJ. Good evening, everybody, and good evening, Pete. And thank you for that introduction. Greetings from the Florida Keys, where, as in Montreal, the sun just went down, and it's an average of 72 degrees here in the Keys. And we're expecting for the next 8 or 9 days, mid-70s, sunny, and no chance of rain, and lows in the 60s. So it's going to be pleasant, very pleasant, before it gets hot and miserable for 7 or 8 months. So I will pause for a moment. And with that being said, as Pete stated, I have been working in public safety now for 25-plus years. The views expressed are my own, and I'm sharing knowledge gained over the years. By all means, please feel free to ask questions at any point during the evening. That will also give me a pause to take a sip of my beverage. And if there is something that you wish to be discussed either tonight or in a further episode in this series, please feel free to email myself or Pete or Gordon, and we'll work on it and we'll put it together and be glad to answer this question. So with that, I will turn it back over to Net Control, VE2XPL from KJ4PUJ.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much, Tony. We thank you for being here and sharing that expertise, information about safety and emergency preparedness is always shared readily by professionals such as yourself, and we thank people like you for being around us, the rest of us who don't necessarily, we know the basics, sometimes it has to go a little bit further than that, and we're going to learn about that over the next few months. And I, for one, am very excited, and I'm sitting here with my papers and pencils, and I will be taking notes. So don't worry, you're not being great. And there won't be a test, but taking notes for questions and the such. So I encourage everybody to participate tonight. Indeed, it's going to be very interesting. And with that, I guess, let's see, where should we start? Well, let's start with the top of my head, I guess, and from my point of view, where should a family start? Where should a family start their emergency preparedness at the very basics? Over to you, Tony, KJ4PUJ, V2XPL, and South Cars.
Excellent question, Pete. Because, as you and Gordon know in our exchange of emails, I believe in the KISS principle, the keeping it simple, Simon. And the first thing that a person can do for themselves and their family is to make sure that you're healthy. If you have any medical conditions, you need to acknowledge them and deal with them and set corrective courses of action in motion. The same for your furry, feathered, or scaly members of your family. Make sure you get annual checkups at the very least, and do what your doctors and or your veterinarian tells you need to do. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for a moment. The second thing you need to do is to make sure that your vehicle or vehicles are in good working order. You do the routine maintenance. It's a lot cheaper than doing major repairs down the road, even if you have a lease vehicle. Do the routine maintenance. Check your tire pressure. Make sure your seat belts work, your headlights, your windshield wipers. The doors open and close freely. The windows go up and down. The battery is checked. You check the windshield washer fluid, the wipers, the radiator fluid, the hoses, the belts, tire pressure, etc. Take care of the basics, and you will have minimal problems. I'm not going to say you're not going to have any problems, but you will minimize the chances of creating an emergency situation for yourself. And I'm going to pause. Make sure that your home is childproof. Even if you don't have little ones in your house anymore, if you have friends or family that visit with little ones, you need to make sure that it's safe. If you have pets of any sort that are either in the home on a regular basis or visit on a regular basis, you need to make sure your home is safe. One of the biggest things you need to do is make sure your house is physically secure. You can have your home or business, make sure it's secure before a situation happens. As a lot of people know, and I'm going to pause for a moment, after Hurricane Katrina or Andrew, depending on how far back your memory goes, or even the recent situation in Haiti and down in Chile, when a natural disaster occurs, people get desperate and they start looting. So you need to make sure your home or business is physically secure. You can do that by asking your local police agency to conduct a home or business security check. Most agencies will do this free of charge on an appointment basis as their manpower and mission dictate. And at this point, I'm going to pause, Pete, turn it back over to you, and see if we have any questions at this point. KJ4PUJ.
Yeah, very good. Most excellent. Wow, we are talking to the right guy. I'm glad that we have you on board. I've heard a lot of presentations, and right down to the basics. No one's ever mentioned that you should take care of yourself, your personal health, get your checkups, all about your vehicle. I think that's great. And the house being child safe and pet safe, of course. We have both, so we certainly do that. But it's good to know. When you don't have kids or you don't have pets, you don't necessarily think of that stuff. So that's excellent. And Tony at this point is asking if anybody has questions. So we'll open it up for questions or comments before we carry on. This is the TNT Open Forum. Welcome aboard with your questions or comments.
Lima Charlie Bravo comment.
Well, come on aboard, George. Welcome, KW4LCB. Go ahead for KJ4PUJ.
Well, good evening, Tony. Kind of like what you said there about security. But, you know, as soon as people start locking up and boarding up, as soon as they leave out, you know, it seems like some of the bad element in the areas, they seize the opportunity, you know, to go in and vandalize and steal what they can. So, you know, if you're going to pack up and leave town, you know, you got to advise the right agencies that you're gone there, you know, instead of the last minute after a disaster happens there. You know, notify them. It's best to let them know before you're gone. It's even getting to the point now where they're reading funeral notices in the paper, and they're breaking in while different folks are going to funerals. Bunch of sickies. Back to you. Appreciate the comments that you've made so far. You're right on top shelf.
Well, thank you, George, and I swear you stole my notes because you're about three bullet statements ahead of me, but we'll get there, and that was one of the things I was going to cover, so I promise, my friend, we'll get there. Pete, back to you, KJ4PUJ.
Well, I guess we'll see if there's any more questions, and if not, you can pick it up, Tony, and carry on with the presentation. So any other questions or comments for Tony before he continues his presentation? This is B2XPL in Montreal. Well, nothing being heard at this time. We're all ears, Tony. Carry on, B2XPL.
Okay, KJ4PUJ, continuing on. One of the things I urge everybody to do is pay attention to your surroundings, to what is normal in your neighborhood, to the weather and to the news at least once a day. And I mention this because recently with the earthquakes in Haiti and Chile, you need to kind of pay attention, particularly if you live in a disaster-prone area. For example, when the earthquake happened in January in Haiti, about 30 minutes later, they issued a tsunami warning for the Florida Keys. Now, when I heard that, I had to verify it with a friend at the National Weather Service because I thought they were kidding. And I'm going to pause for a second. And again, a few weeks ago, with the earthquake in Chile, there were tsunami warnings for Hawaii. So what happens in one part of the world may affect your region depending on the prevailing winds, ocean currents, etc. I'm not an oceanographer. I'm not a marine biologist or a scientist of any kind. It's just one of those things that I've learned to pay attention to. When you make your plans, you need to consider anywhere from 100 to a 250-mile radius depending on the environment you live. If you live in a very urban environment, then I would only go out 100 miles. If you live in a very rural environment, then I would go out 250 miles. And I'm going to pause again.
Yeah, Tony, just little note there. Your signal is a little bit hot, so I'm not sure if you want to just adjust your output or step back away from the mic there. I just thought I'd mention that. Back over to you, KJ4PUJ.
Roger that. I'm sorry. I'm going to back away from the mic because my audio controls are a little messed up at this point. Have at least a primary and an alternate plan. And I say that because part of the years I spent in the military with the Strategic Air Command, we had backups to backups to backups, so I got used to doing things that way. You also need to communicate your plans to your spouse or significant other and your children if they are old enough to understand, particularly your oldest child if you have more than one child, so that they know what to do in case there is no grown-up around. I'm going to pause for a second. It's very important that all members of the family know what to do when you're not there. You can have the best set of family preparedness plans in the world, but if nobody else knows what to do when you're not there, they're useless. It's like having a winning lotto ticket and leaving it in a desk drawer. If there is time to leave, or your local officials mandate, please leave, because if you stay behind, there's going to come a point in time where you call here in the United States, the number is 911 for emergency service, but you're going to call your local emergency number and nobody's coming, and you're on your own, and you need to plan for that. And I will pause for a second. If you choose to stay behind when the majority of people have been ordered to evacuate, you become a danger to yourself, to your family, and you become a liability for the emergency response personnel that do have to stay behind, because now you are one more family that they have to worry about and try and locate once things calm down. So please, if you're asked to leave, leave. Notify your local law enforcement agency that you're leaving or the emergency operations center. Some counties have numbers that you can call. Give them your name, your address, and tell them that you're leaving. Trust me, if your county emergency management is set up that way, somebody will drive by and check on your property, much like George brought up a few moments ago. And I'm going to pause. If you do evacuate for any reason, whether it's a sudden emergency, such as a hazardous material situation, chemical spill, fire, make sure you evacuate uphill and upwind. If you go downhill and downwind, you're asking for whatever's in the air to follow you and contaminate yourself. So remember to go uphill and upwind. Crosswind if necessary, and you cannot go upwind. And only as an absolute last resort should you go downwind. And determining the wind direction is as simple as wetting your finger and holding it up. And I'm going to pause. Okay, one more section, and then we'll pause for questions. You need to be ready to take care of yourself, folks, for a minimum of 7 to 10 days. If you live in a cold climate, such as Pete, and you're subject to heavy snowstorms and or being snowed in for several days, plan for 7 to 10 days. If you're only snowed in 3, great, you got plenty of supplies. But if you only plan for 2 days and you're snowed in 5, it's going to be a miserable last 3 days unless you know how to ration food. And you can't ration water, especially if you have children or pets. So please, plan for 7 to 10 days. Plan for the worst, hope for the best, and things will work themselves out. I highly recommend that if you're going to take this seriously, you take your family camping for a long weekend. Not to a hotel, not to a log cabin, but camping with tents and no running water, near a lake or a stream, fires, marshmallows, the whole nine yards. And Pete, with that, I'm going to pause and turn it back over to you, KJ4PUJ to VE2XPL.
Oh, very good. Roger that. 7 to 10 days. The standard in all the literature that I've read, they usually recommend 3. We often hear in the news that people are often stranded for more than that. So you would think that they would modify that, or perhaps it's just a recommendation. It should be a minimum of 3, but you mentioned 7 to 10, and I think that's a good idea. I mean, absolutely. Why wouldn't you plan for the worst? I was just wondering if, before I open it up for questions, will there be tips at some point as to a lot of people now, people who are, well, it doesn't matter what age really, but people live in condos, people live in places that don't have a lot of room for storage, and we all know that a family of four, if we all have to keep water and supplies for 7 to 10 days, could become a challenge in terms of storing all this area. So I don't know if you have, or if you're planning on doing a separate talk on that, or if you'd like to address that at any time. I just something that popped into my head, mostly because I'm in that situation. We have a house, but it's not a huge house, and there's not a lot of room, and there's 5 of us here and 2 dogs, so real estate is at a premium. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Back over to you, and then we'll open it up for questions. KJ4PUJ from V2XPL.
I'll actually touch on that now since you asked the question now, Pete. And I've lived in apartments or condos a few times in my life, and most people have at least one closet that's kind of a junk closet. And my recommendation would be to clean out the junk closet, get rid of the junk. And what my wife and I have is a few of those rather large Tupperware containers. They're probably about the size of, I guess, 2 Apple crates. They're usually about $6 or $7 a piece, and we have our supplies in that, minus things that we use every day that we like, medicines and dog food and that kind of stuff that we know we're going to pack at the last minute. But the majority of items are already prearranged. And in an average coat closet, you can put 2 or 3 of those in there. So that would be my recommendation. If you have a storage shed and you live in an apartment or a condo and maybe you keep a small storage unit, you could keep a couple of those situations there or keep your stuff there if you have easy access to it, say within 15, 20 minutes. That would be my recommendation. KJ4PUJ, back to VE2XPL.
Oh, well, you're going to make us work for it, too. It's funny because my wife has been telling me that I should get rid of the junk in that closet for a number of years. actually, we have a junk room, and I'm in that junk room right now. So part of the junk room is my shack, and behind me is the junk. So, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of things that could probably go that, you know, it's always that stuff, the syndrome that you hang on to it in case you need it and you never use it. And then the day you get rid of it, you know, you kind of find a use for it. But no, that's a good tip indeed. So with that, I'll open it up for questions. If anybody has questions or comments at this time, and I encourage you to encourage our guests with your questions and comments. Come on aboard, and no question is too small or too large. This is the TNT Open Forum, V2XPL. We're open for questions. Well, I guess you're being extremely clear, Tony. I guess you may proceed at your discretion, KJ4PUJ, V2XPL, Montreal.
All righty. Thank you, Pete. KJ4PUJ here. The next thing I'd like to mention is communication. And by this, I mean the electronics kind. Besides communicating your plans with your spouse
significant other and your children if they're old enough, particularly your older children, you also need to have the ability to communicate. Everybody listening is at some way or shape or form involved with amateur radio, which is fantastic. But what if you're at work and not near your rig? Have you thought about how you're going to communicate with your family? When I was transferred down here to the Keys, I was issued a work employee cell phone with a certain carrier. So when my wife and I decided to change our personal cell phones to a local number, we made sure that the carrier that we selected was not the same carrier that my employer provided the phone for. Here in the Keys, there's a strong possibility that cell phone towers will go down. However, using two different carriers, my chances just increased. And I'm going to pause for a second. KJ4PUJ here, continuing on. But along those same lines, knowing that I had to give this presentation tonight, while I'm using Echolink and my laptop computer, I also have my MacBook Pro fired up with Echolink standing by, and I also have my rig tuned to the SCARS repeater here in the Keys, so that in the event that something happens with this laptop, I can hopefully be back on the air within 90 seconds of this. So that's what I mean by communications. Have you thought out how you're going to communicate with your family? How are you going to execute your plan? There's no silliness involved in writing it out, thinking it out, talking it out. And I will pause again. So, think your plan through. Write it down. Talk about it. In the land of emergency preparedness, we call that a tabletop exercise, where you literally sit around a table and say, if we do this, what can we expect to happen? Or if this happens, what are we going to do? You can call it the what-if game. Make it a game if you have children. Ask them. Your kids are smarter than you think. Say, if this happens and mom and dad are not home, what would you do? Get them thinking that way so that if an emergency does occur, they've at least thought about it once in their lifetime and it's not a surprise to them. And I'm going to pause.
Yeah, just a quick note, Tony. Your audio's still a little bit hot. You're well into the yellow on the Echolink bar, so I just thought I'd mention it. Back over to you.
Okay, I am sitting as far away from the computer as I can and still able to hit the keyboard, so I hope that helps. Moving along, one of the things that people need to understand if there is a natural disaster type situation, whether forthcoming such as a hurricane or a snowstorm or sudden such as a tornado or an earthquake, it's going to take some time for emergency personnel to get to your area. The first thing that they're going to do is account for their own safety and the safety of their family. Having responded to many disasters over the years, the first thing I always did was check on my family, because I can't take care of you until I know my family is taken care of and that worry is no longer in my head. The second thing they need to do is get organized and get to a rally point and make sure they have all the supplies they have needed to take into your area. And I'm going to pause. And then they need to safely get to your area. And this is KJ4PBJ for anybody from the FCC listening. So deal with things while they're little issues before they become large issues. If you have a screen door that needs to be tightened up, caulked, repaired, etc., take care of it as your budget allows. I mean, I'm not asking anybody to go out and break their family budget to do all this stuff. Do what you can within your budget. But if you see something broken, fix it. Again, deal with the problems while they are little before they become major. A leaky shingle roof that's been annoying you for 6 months now, after 3 days of torrential rain and now the area is flooding, is going to be a gateway to roof damage and electrical damage and possibly a fire because of the electrical damage. And I'm going to pause. Keep yourself prepared physically, as we talked about earlier, and that includes your medication. If you're on regular and reoccurring medication, make sure you have at least 2 weeks' worth, no less than that. Here in North America, spring has sprung, tornadoes, sudden thunderstorms. Pretty soon in the southeast, it'll be hurricane season. Make sure you have at least 2 weeks of medication. That includes things you also regularly take, such as aspirin, vitamins, ibuprofen, antacid. Make sure you have some of those in your go kit as well. Don't forget to check the expiration dates on those things. If the expiration date is more than 30 days old, throw it out. Otherwise, you are risking chemical interactions because of the chemical breakdown of the product. And I'm going to pause. And then the last thing for this section, Pete, and then I'll turn it back over to you for any questions. If you haven't taken a first aid or a CPR class in a while, particularly within the last 5 years, because many things have changed, please contact your local Salvation Army, Red Cross, community organization, and take a class. Give up a Saturday for about 6 to 8 hours so that you can take care of yourself and your family. And with that, Pete, I'll turn it back over to you for any questions. KJ4PUJ.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. I'm glad that you touched on the fact that you that the public safety personnel, you know, they have to ensure their families are safe. They need to get organized. They need to rally. They need to get their gear together. And I'm glad that you mentioned that. This is something that we don't usually cover when we're talking about emergency preparedness, but you know, people expect that they'll call 911 and then they wonder why it takes, and often it's not, you know, it could be 10, 20, 30 minutes, but in an emergency scenario, 10, 20, or 30 minutes can seem like a lifetime. And it does take time. I lived in the Rocky Mountains here for a number of years and had a lot to do with search and rescue in the wilderness and avalanche, and we used to talk to a lot of the helicopter guys who would have to go out and find people stuck on the side of the mountains, and you know, by the time they would spot them, locate them, and then send those coordinates to the rescue people who had to climb up the mountain somehow, you know, this could take 6, 12, 18 hours, and then they would be criticized for doing their job. But they're doing it to the best of their ability, and they're certainly not going to risk their lives, or at least they're going to take calculated risks, but they're going to minimize those risks in order to help you, because obviously an injured or dead safety personnel person can't help you very well. So I'm glad that you touched on that. And a lot of these things, you know, make repairs before they become too great. Take care of your car, take care of your health. These are just life lessons, I think, that spill over into emergency preparedness. At least that's kind of the way I look at it. And I'm glad that you're touching on that. So with that, with my little rant there, not really a rant, I'll open it up for questions. Welcome to the TNT Open Forum. Anybody who has questions or comments for Tony, great presentation, by the way, very interesting. Anybody have questions or comments, come on aboard now. We're looking at 8:43 in the east.
V3MEW.
All right, V3MEW. Bill, another person who I understand has a lot of experience in this domain. So welcome aboard, sir. Come aboard with your question or comment.
Yeah, good evening, Pete and the group. And that's great. Wonderful presentation. Just a couple of points if I could mention them here, and of course I could be jumping the gun there. Tony may well get to this, but I was listening when he said talking about setting up the scenarios and talking about what you should do with communications around with your family. Now, what happens if communications break down? You make your arrangements and you come up with your methods, and then disaster strikes and there is no communications. There is no cell phone towers, such as when the ice storm took out much of the electrical grid and so on in Montreal or down in the Kingston-Cornwall area a few years ago. What do you do then? Where are you going to meet? Have you arranged where you are going to meet or try to be someplace so that you're not running around wildly looking for your family, your family members, and there may even be some family in another town, 25, 30, 40 miles away. What about them? Have you talked to them to see where situation where we can get together and how we're going to do it? Because obviously, when in the event of a disaster, it's really great to have your family together and a lot less worry and stress on you when everybody's together as a family and can work together for the benefit of everyone. The other point I would make, and this is strictly a psychological thing, everybody's listening to you tonight, and that's great. That's the first step. But sometimes our minds think, well, disaster's not going to happen to me. It happens over there somewhere. It happens to somebody else. It's not going to happen here. I'm okay. So I can put this off. I don't have to make up any little packs around my house right now because we're not going to need it. Or I'll get to it next week or next month, or I just won't bother. So I think we need to address that issue as well and say, hey, a disaster could happen right here where I'm sitting. We could need these supplies, and are we ready to do it right now? Back to you, B2XPL, B3MEW.
Yeah, very good, Bill. Thanks for the comments. I appreciate that. I don't know how Tony feels. I'm sure Tony will echo the sentiments, but even if it's something that is going to be covered or has been covered, it never hurts to get a refresher on any kind of emergency preparedness information. So I don't want anybody to be shy about asking questions about something that has been touched on or that you think is going to be touched on. Ask the question anyway. Don't be shy. So thanks, Bill. I appreciate the comments, and I'll turn it right over to Tony for his answer. KJ4PUJ, come on back.
Excellent comments, Bill. Excellent. Could not have said it any better myself. And I sort of neglected the communication failures, but again, since this is the first night of the series, I was trying to start in the base level KISS principle. So you brought out a point that was going to be brought up next session. And in terms of the not happening here, that was going to be part of my closing remarks. So you brought it up early, and that's fine. That's good. I am not a know-it-all when it comes to emergency preparedness. I will admit to being very experienced, having responded to several disasters, and been the on-scene commander for the first 30 to 45 minutes until other resources got there on several occasions, but I am no expert. I will admit to highly knowledgeable, and that's it, because this field is ever-changing, as you very well know. So with that, I will pause and turn it back over to VE2XPL from KJ4PUJ for any more questions or comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. And another good point for those of you who joined us maybe a little bit later. This is going to be a series. We're happy to announce this is going to be a regular monthly series of talks on various subjects of personal and various other emergency preparedness. We'll stretch it out for as long as we can because, as we all know, there's so many interesting aspects and facets of this that we could keep it going for a long time, or at least as long as Tony and other great resources on South Cars are willing to help us out. We'll be happy to have you. So any other comments or questions? We're looking at 8:49. We're drawing closer to the end, although we have lots of time. Any other questions or comments at this time for Tony? Welcome aboard to the TNT Open Forum for this first series on emergency preparedness.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Oh, roger that. Welcome back, George. Come on aboard.
You okay, Pete? Tony, I just don't know where great day on the series on preparedness. If we're going to get into hurricanes, which I've dealt with one or two of them in my lifetime, but as far as preparing your boats or things like that, I don't want to jump ahead of you, but you know, if you want to touch on that later on, we'll just be quiet.
KJ4PJ, excellent idea, George. I was going to touch on hurricanes a couple of episodes down the road, just in time for hurricane season, and I will mention boat preparedness as part of that. I do know that we have a great many South Cars listeners in the Southeast United States, so I can't say exactly when that will be coming up, but I will let you know the previous session or the previous week ahead of time, or at least let Gordon and Pete know so that they can get the word out so that you can tune in that week, knowing that we'll cover that. How's that sound? KJ4PUJ.
That sounds slick as snuff and twice as juicy there, Tony. You okay, bud? Doing a great job there, taking it all in there. But like I said, didn't know just when all this was going to come about, if he's going to try to cover it, just exactly what you're going to cover in this session, but maybe you can kind of give us a little menu, or Gordon or somebody might put it up, because we deal with a whole bunch of things, you know. I've heard them touch on snowstorms, but remember, after the snow comes down, then it starts to melt. Then you got to deal with the flash flooding and all that kind of stuff. Walk that dog once or twice, too. But, okay, KW4LTV, back to net control, and I guess you can carry on.
All right. Anybody else have any questions or comments at this time before we carry on? All right, I think N3PUG was keying up, but there was no audio. Or perhaps there was an attempt at audio, but it wasn't coming through. You want to try that again, N3PUG? No, negative, negative, no audio. You get a key up, but no audio. We'll give you, how about I give you a couple of minutes to work on that, and then we can come right back and try it again. Any other questions or comments at this time? This is the TNT Open Forum. We're talking to Tony, KJ4PUJ, South Cars member extraordinaire, and brand new co-producer to the TNT Open Forum, along with two other co-producers, of course, Craig and Michael, who I'm not forgetting. So any other questions or comments at this time? Come on aboard. Bob in Oxford, Ohio, you want to give it one more try? Sometimes third time's a charm.
Okay, Pete, there we go. I had my recording device set on stereo mix so I could record a conference call earlier. Are you ready for my question? Go ahead.
Hey, roger that, QSL. Third time was a charm. Amazing. Yeah, go ahead with your question. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Good to be here. And hello, everybody. I've got a general question here. Here in Oxford, Ohio, there's a mobile home park with over 300 mobile homes in it. And they have nowhere to go in case of a tornado warning and things like this here. At one time, they were able to go to a local school and take shelter, but as of last year, they no longer allow them to go there. So everybody's on their own, going to run around like a bunch of chickens with their head cut off. I fought prior to that for over a year to get the tornado siren fixed. It was not working for the better part of a year, And now if the siren sticks, they have nowhere to go. So I don't know what good the siren's going to do. I'm just kind of wondering if anybody here on the net could advise me of a possibility of an outlet there on what to look into to get some help and so on and so forth. N3PUG, back to the net.
Excellent question indeed, and we understand your concern. We'll defer right to our presenter tonight, KJ4PUJ. Tony, pick it up.
KJ4PUJ. Bob, have you got a pen and paper handy?
Yes, I do. I'm ready to copy, and I'm mostly known as SpongeBob. I'm ready to soak it all up. Go ahead.
All right. The first thing I'd like you to do is email me, kj4puj@arrl.net, and that'll dump into my email. And outline everything that you just told me. And then tell me which county you live in other words, where is Oxford, Ohio, which county, which corner of the state, etc. And I cannot promise you anything, but I have a pretty good professional network, and I will make some inquiries and see if I can't get you some answers. And that's the best I can do for you at this point. If you're not comfortable with that, then I would recommend you contacting the county emergency management officials. I would also recommend you, if that doesn't have any luck, I would recommend that you contact the state emergency management officials. And if that doesn't work, call the governor's office. I think he's up for re-election either this year or next year. It'd be a heck of a news story if you didn't want to help out a couple hundred people. Over.
All right, I appreciate that information. I have been in contact with the local EMA as well as the state, and they pretty much say they can't do anything. It's up to the local authorities. But I will go to the government and all with no problem at all. But it just irritates me that they overlook them and make everybody be on their own. And I'm afraid that they're all going to flood the local hospital up here, in which case if something did happen here, and I'm in Southwest Ohio, Tornado Alley, if something was to happen and everybody's at the hospital, I don't even want to think about all the chaos that could create. But I will definitely email you, Tony, and we'll see what we can do from there. I appreciate it. N3PUG.
Thanks for your comments, Bob. Much appreciated. We're glad we could help. I threw in that email address in the text box if you have access, although it's a pretty easy one. Tony's call at arrl.net, kj4puj@arrl.net. And we have a question mark from KW4LCB. Do you have another question or comment, sir? Come on aboard.
Well, it's more of a comment there, Pete. Seemed like it was about 300 trailers in that park. Maybe a group of people could get together and, for a few hundred bucks, you could rent a backhoe and just dig you out a big old root cellar. At least there's some place to go until... somebody can figure out how you're going to get some help. I have hid in a 55-gallon drum one time, and that worked pretty good there. So, something to get the job done. Like I said, maybe it could be a community effort to just get maybe, some type bunker built, just a thought. And back to Nick and Cole.
Yeah, very good indeed. The old root cellar. This is going to sound strange, but I'm very fond of root cellars. I think they're the coolest thing in the world. They're good for storing vegetables. The temperature is always, it's always nice. It's always constant. It's safe. You know, it's kind of like Mother Earth putting her arms around you and protecting you. Without getting too sappy here, but no, they're a great thing, and I've actually been considering building one in my backyard because I think that I'm gonna have trouble with the town though, because I can hardly put up a painting on my wall without needing a permit, but that's a whole other story. All right, KJ4OSM has a question or comment. Come on aboard.
Good evening, Pete, and everybody else on the net. I just had a quick question for you. I am a new Floridian. I moved from the great Northeast to Florida, and, you know, I made it through a stormless season last year. I now have a new home, and my wife and I are alone. I'm curious what some things I would need in the event of a hurricane. Obviously, the good water, your basic staples, I understand, but what are some of the things that you wouldn't think about that would be good to have around?
KJ4PJ, Steve, if your audio was a little weak. If I understood your question correctly, you and your wife just moved to Florida, just purchased a home, and like me, got lucky last season, and you're curious, is there anything to do for hurricanes? Am I understanding you correct?
Roger, you definitely got me. I was just curious, you know, what exactly, besides your basics, your food, your water, things like that, what should you have on hand in case of a storm?
I would recommend definitely some duct tape, some tarp, some plywood before the storm. Make sure you got either the storm shutters or et cetera to cover your windows ahead of time. I'm actually going to do probably close to a whole episode on flood, hurricane, tornado-type preparation, but that'll be probably two sessions from now. In the meantime, if you will email me, I have a bunch of stuff already put together from the 2009 and upcoming 2010 season, and I'll be happy to email that to you ahead of time so that you can start your preparations well before presentation on scars. KJ4PUJ, does that help you out?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I'll turn it back over to the net. KJ4OSM, thank you again.
Well, thank you, Steve, for being there and taking part. We're all going to be more knowledgeable after this series, and from what I hear, most of y'all live in places where well, actually, we all live in places where stuff can happen. Some of us are more prone to it than others, or more likely to happen. But yeah, it could happen anywhere. Like Bill mentioned, we had an ice storm a number of years ago. I, of course, escaped out west before the ice storm, so I missed the whole thing. Although at the time I was in my late 20s, and a lot of my friends who are very outdoorsy, I thought it was pretty cool because they got to test their survival skills. Although their girlfriends didn't really share those sentiments, but, you know, we can find amusing anecdotes even in things like that. So any other questions or comments at this time? We're looking at 4 minutes past 9 p.m. We're going to be wrapping it up in the next little while there. But I just want to see if anybody else has comments or questions at this time. Come on aboard. Nothing being heard at this time. I'll turn it back over to Tony. Did you have a whole lot more to cover, Tony? We are looking at 65 minutes into the show. I try not to pass 90 minutes, especially with a topic of this nature. It's a lot of information to digest, and as we discussed, I know you were going to keep them all very short and concise and interesting, but I'm just passing it back to you, and whatever you wish to keep for next session is okay, but I defer to your expertise. Back to you, Tony, KJ4PUJ. Oh, and hello to Mike, who's just joined us. Mike is back. Our third, we're all even here. We're all co-producers, but Mike's back, and welcome to you, Mike. All right, Tony, pick it up. Sorry about that. KJ4PUJ, V2XPL.
Right there, Pete. You've got my notes, so I'm going to finish the text section, and we'll save the basic items for the next session. Okay, moving along. those clothes that you were going to donate to charity because maybe they're last seasons or maybe they got a little hole or a rip or something and you can't wear them to work or church anymore, but they're otherwise still good? Don't. Put them in your go kit. And unless you plan on updating your go kit monthly or quarterly, make sure you've got some staples in there, such as underwear, jeans, shirts, socks, shoes, layered clothing, regardless of the climate that you live in. You'll be surprised how when under extremely stressful conditions, you get too hot or too cold and you want to take off and put on layers several times through the day. Don't forget some hats, some sunscreen, medium weight jackets, blankets, etc. And with that, I'm going to pause. Money. Many years ago, it was considered impolite to talk in public about money. Folks, we're talking about planning for natural or man-made disasters. Get over it. You need to figure out what your family's food, water, gasoline, etc. budget is for 2 weeks. And that's how much money I am recommending in cash that you keep available and secure it in your home, whether it's in a safe, a lockbox, however you want to do it so that your teenagers don't find it, or your spouse or your significant other doesn't use it as their own little personal stash. This is emergency fund. And the reason I say 2 weeks, when earlier I said plan for 7 to 10 days, is that you can expect that there will be some unscrupulous merchants who will immorally raise prices on commodities such as food, water, gasoline, etc. You're going to need to have enough money to pay them. Don't argue about it. Pay what they're asking. Take their name, phone number, date, time, etc. Write it all down. File a complaint after the emergency passes. Because at that time, you're going to need their food, their water, their gasoline, whatever it is they're selling that you need. I'm going to pause. In keeping in money, stay within your budget when you're doing all this. I mentioned this earlier. Please, I do not want anybody to go out and drop the equivalent of $1,000 making a go kit. You may spend that much money over time. However, don't go do it tomorrow. Start doing what's within your budget. Start with basics. If this paycheck, all you can afford is a flashlight and a couple of candles and maybe a couple of cans of tuna fish, then that's great. You've started the process. You've acknowledged that you need to plan, which is something that George and Bill brought up earlier. Don't get into the mindset, this will not happen to me. The biggest reason that I got into amateur radio last year was because I moved to the Florida Keys. Hurricane Central. There's rarely a storm that goes by that we don't get affected with somehow. And since I don't have a landline and I depend on internet cable service and 2 cellular phones, I wanted a contingency plan to be able to reach the mainland or the sheriff's department if I needed to yell for help. It can happen. It will happen. It's just a matter of when it will happen. And I'm going to pause. 2 more things, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Net Control. Work with your neighbors. If you don't get along with your neighbors, it's a lousy neighborhood when there's an emergency. In 25 years of public service, I've seen people be extraordinarily generous and extraordinarily cruel. If you have a rift with your neighbors, get over it. Mend those fences, because that person may be the person to help you out in an emergency. The next thing I would suggest is plan with your neighbors. I am extremely grateful that I have awesome neighbors. One of my neighbors has a generator that will power the whole neighborhood. So I didn't go out and buy a generator that big. I agreed to help him with his maintenance and fuel costs, and he agreed to let me plug in if necessary, if my generator isn't enough. And I'm going to pause for a moment. Pool your resources, share the burdens, share the planning, talk it through, acknowledge it. Remember, it will happen in your neighborhood at some point. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, may not even be this year. But at some point, you and your community are going to be affected by either man-made or natural disaster issues. Pay attention to the weather. Pay attention to the news. And I'll be happy to answer your questions, if not on the air, then via email. Pete, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you. KJ4PUJ, back to VE2XPO.
Well, outstanding, Tony. Thank you very much. I'm glad you mentioned that. You such good points. You're just a wealth of information, and a lot of information that isn't found in the basic literature. Indeed, having a great neighborhood does help. I live in an old neighborhood. We've been around for a long time. Even though I've moved in and out of the neighborhood, I keep coming back because it's such a great neighborhood. We have great neighbors. We help each other out. My neighbor and I have the key to each other's houses, and we've had to use it in the past for various small emergencies, but still very good anyways. And what you mentioned about boosting prices in case of an emergency, unscrupulous merchants, we saw that happen during the ice storms years ago, 10 or 12 years ago. More 15 years ago. My God, where has the time gone? Anyhow, we saw that happen during the ice storms where people were charging outrageous prices for basic commodities, bread, milk, generators. And there was a lot of complaints made. And after the fact, that's exactly what people did. People put in complaints, and a lot of these merchants were fined after the fact. So it does happen. We've seen it happen, and like you said, it will happen again. It's just a matter of when and where. So with that, we'll open up the floor for questions before we close it down. TNT Open Forum, we're talking to Tony, KJ4PUJ, on basic personal and family emergency preparedness. So if you have any questions, now's your chance. Come on aboard. Welcome.
MEW.
All right. Net recognizes Bill. Welcome back. V3MEW, go ahead.
Yeah, Pete, I have one more comment I can make. And I'm only making it because it applies to me and the local amateur radio and other people in the Peterborough area here. I don't know whether you people in the United States of America have this or not. I haven't asked or haven't checked. But we have a thing in Canada called CanWarn. And every year the people that run CanWarn will come around and give presentations in the area. And they're free of charge. And what you do is you go there and you learn to be a weather observer. And if you see something that is dangerous or that is important, then you have you've been given a training on how to know what to look for, and you know who to call and let them know so that proper warnings and so on can be issued that a dangerous situation is imminent in your area. So Tony said, watch the weather. Well, that's all well and good. But how many people listening right now actually know what they're looking at if they watch the weather, or do they rely strictly on what they hear on the television or the radio? Can they actually go outside, take a look at the weather, and make a determination of what is going on at the moment and what is coming or not coming? The CanWarn training is free here in Peterborough, and last year I think we had about 70 people show up, amateurs from all over the place. And apparently, I understand this year there's going to be over 120, and they had to move the session to a new venue, a new place, to make room for all the expected people that are coming. And pretty well most of them are amateur radio operators, are coming to get this training And many of them are coming for the refresher as well on how to be a weather observer and to be know what they're looking for when they're looking up at the sky and what they're seeing. So, okay, that's just my comment. Back to you, Pete, V3MEW.
Well, it was an excellent comment. I'll let Tony, I'm certainly no expert on what's going on in the United States. I'm right here next to you, Bill. But we'll defer to Tony to see what the equivalence is. And I know there is an equivalent in the U.S., but I'll let Tony take that. KJ4PUJ, go ahead.
Roger that, KJ4PUJ. Bill, yeah, here in the U.S., we have the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, who runs our National Weather Service. And they do give classes periodically. It depends on the region. Those of you in the United States listening that are interested in doing that, please go to www.noaa.gov/OscarVictor, and find your local office and contact them, and they will arrange to get you in the next training session. Did that answer your question, Bill?
Yeah, very good, Tony. As I expect it down there, it's probably the same as here. This is free. It takes a few hours of your time out of an evening, and you come away a little bit smarter, and you can look up at the sky, and you can see some cloud formations, and you can identify them and know approximately what's going to happen next. So, and it may be even without a disaster, you may be able to help, because in the last few years, we've had an increase in tornadoes coming through up through the Detroit-Windsor corridor, up through London and Barrie, up north of Toronto, and some injuries and deaths and property damage, and there's, we even had one just a small one touched down going through Peterborough here many years ago. Didn't hit my house or didn't affect my antennas, but it did some damage down the street. It did take out the power here. We were without power, I think, for about 12 hours, so it can happen. Back to that, V3MEW.
Yeah, most excellent. NOAA, that's the name that was escaping me. We have Michael, KD0CDQ, would like to make a comment concerning this very topic. Come on aboard, Michael.
Thank you, Pete, and everybody that's listening. We have a great privilege being ham radio operators, because that is a requirement for what's called Skywarn. The National Weather Service will train ham radio operators in identifying hurricanes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, and the like. We actually have to attend a class for a number of hours with the Weather Service people instructing us. So it's an overhead deal where they're showing us pictures of cloud formation and different things to be aware of and what the requirements are to be a storm spotter. After we do the classroom training, we have to do a test. And the test is given by the National Weather Service. We also have a second test by our Emergency Communications Service in the area. So it's a two-part test we must complete and pass. And then we actually have to go on a drill. We come in on a Saturday morning about 8 o'clock for a drill. They give us sealed envelopes, and those of us who are certified storm spotters, we are given other storm spotters to take with us. And this past February, I took five people. And we go to a designated site. We have sites that are designated. I'm going to drop here so I don't foul things up. We have designated sites that are by letter and number so that the public listening in on our stations, on our radios, cannot tell where we are or what's going on. We go out to these designated stations that we're given, and in sequence, the envelopes are sealed with number on the outside, 1 through maybe 75, and they'll call for number 13, number 72, and when they call that number, you are to call back in and read what it says on the script, and the script is like a storm is approaching and what you're seeing and things of that nature to make it very realistic, and then they'll call for another number, 14 or something, and what are you seeing in your location, and so that you get a feel that there's really something happening. And for the new people, it's quite exciting. I normally make them do all the radio transmissions. All I do is tell them what to say or how to do it. And they really get into the storm spotting for tornadoes. We're very susceptible here in Kansas to tornadoes. And with the CERT training combined with that, we're able to respond. I'm going to drop and come back. With the cert training, toward the end of the drill, about noontime, they will say, any cert people, call in with your cert identification. They want to see how many cert people are actually deployed. Now, this last time, we licensed 75 new storm spotters. It's a two-year certification. So then you call them and tell them that you are a cert member, and then they do a drill like report to the local airport, hangar number so-and-so, there's been a hangar collapse or something like that. But you physically don't go. They just want you to respond, yes, I will proceed to, and you tell them where it is. They need to know how many people are certified in CERT that are also storm spotters, because we do double duty, you see. Being emergency communication service people, we also do CERT, which is, you know, first aid and all this search and rescue and all these evolutions we do that we learn. It's quite a grand combination, and the whole key is being a ham radio operator and being willing to give up of your time. Now, tomorrow night here, Friday night, there is going to be some disturbing weather in the area, so we have been warned. So when I get off work at about 3:15, I'll put on my radio in the car, my mobile, and I will listen if there's a call out. I'm going to drop and come back. If there is a call out, you call back in with your call sign, and they will log you in and make a log of who is available. Or they may directly say, could you proceed to Delta 1 or Charlie 17? And you will tell them on the spot, because you've got your book, yes, I can respond. But if you can't go, you tell them, no, I must go home first, or I'm not ready to go. You must be ready to deploy immediately when the net control operator gives you a call to go somewhere. Now, we have many people in their homes, okay, that actually drop out.
All right, I muted you because you were stuck in transmit, Michael. So just to drop the repeater because it hadn't dropped in a bit. I'll unmute you right away and you may proceed. I've never done that before. This is very exciting.
My book's open. I got nice color pictures, and I'm watching, and I only report what I see. I don't report what I'm hearing over a radio or what someone pulls up and tells me they've seen. And the only things that we report is things like 1 inch hail or larger, rainfall 1 inch or greater per hour, or like we're seeing a lowering of the clouds, or we're seeing a rotation. And it's very rare we're going to actually see a tornado. But of course, if you see a tornado, and of course, we always call in hail. But otherwise, we stay quiet. We stay quiet where we are. And just like Tony said, you've got to have support with you. And my idea of support is having snacks. So you keep them in your go pack, that you have food and water with you in the car and what you will need to be comfortable. Because you may be there for 2 hours, you could be up to eight, but not likely. But you got 2 or 3 hours you're going to be sitting out there. And in the Midwest, when a tornado is in the area, first we get hail, and we get big hail. And when you get that, you've got to make a run for it, because you got this little soft tin car that we're driving around in. I'm going to drop and come back. So we do have evacuation points on our book, in our book, as to where to go to get shelter. And sometimes I kind of cheat and look for closer places, like a car wash, where I can drive inside in case there's hail. I've lost 2 vehicles already, a car and a truck, over the years to hail. So I am very leery, scared, whatever, of hail. It's a great motivator for me to get moving, because I do not want to have it happen again. But what I'm getting at, fellas and ladies, even those that can't leave their home are helpful with storm spotting, because we need communicators. We need people in the home, because sometimes we're pretty far out and our signal isn't catching a repeater, so they have to relay for us. So people stay at home and they relay for us, and people are home logging, because everything we say is logged for the Weather Service, because they do call the Weather Service with what we see, with where we are located. So there's a lot of need for people to be sitting right in their home communicating for those in the field to those at the Weather Service and vice versa. The Weather Service may have an answer, a question, I'm sorry, that they may say, Charlie 3, what are you seeing now? So they'll call us and ask us on the over the radio. So we'll tell them what we're seeing because the Weather Service gets suspicious sometimes that something's happening that they're not seeing below the radar, because the radar is not on the ground or it'll fry the cattle and the horses out here. The radar is up in the air, of course, so it's not covering the ground. And that's where the homes and the life and property are located, of course, is on the ground. So we're very vital, and especially with hurricanes, I would suspect that on the coast there's so much needed to give the wind speed. And those little anemometers, they're so great to just hang them out your car window and it tells you the airspeed. You get your arm all wet in the rain, but at least you get the wind speed into the Weather Service. They need to know that ground speed, because that's very critical. I'll let this thing drop, and if you want to, Pete, want me to stop, I will stop here, whatever.
All right, just letting you know that when you drop it, it's not actually dropping. I had to mute you once in there just so that you wouldn't time out. So I'm not sure if you're using the a permanent PTT, you know, the PTT sticks on and off, if you toggle it on and off, or if it just drops when you... Anyhow, just you need to drop a little bit longer because you hadn't dropped out once in that whole transmission there. So I don't know if Tony wants to come back with comments of his own. KJ4PUJ, go ahead.
KJ4PUJ, excellent comments, Mike. I took some notes, and if you have the ability, please summarize them and email them to me. For those of you that are listening, my intention is I've been taking notes, and I'm going to adjust my presentation notes accordingly for some of the things that were brought up in addition to my notes, and I will email that to Gordon within the next couple of days. And the plan is at this point, and Gordon, please feel free to chime in and correct me if I'm wrong, but the plan is to post those about the same time that the audio recording of this session is posted, so that in case you missed part of it, you can go back in there and take a look at your own pace. And Pete, I'll entertain any more questions or comments at this point. KJ4PUJ, back to the E2XPO.
Yeah, Roger that. We are recording this session for those of you who aren't listening. We are recording this session, and we'll do what we can to expedite the upload to our survey. It would be nice to have this one up, this series up in the same week, ideally. But we'll have to talk to the powers that be and see if that's possible or not. I'm not sure. I'm not the one who uploads these things, so we'll have to. We'll have to see what we can do, but I'll definitely do my best to get this up as soon as possible. Absolutely. I'm not sure if Michael had finished his comments or if anybody else wants to come aboard with more questions. We're looking at 9:31 p.m. We're 91 minutes into the show. Lots of great comments and questions. So come on aboard with your own if you have at this time. Welcome. I'll ask one more time if there's any other questions or comments. If we don't have any, we'll close it down for tonight officially, keeping in mind that this will be a series of presentations that we'll present. For now, we're aiming at the first Thursday of every month for the safety preparedness series, sorry, and looking forward to each and every one, of course, filled with great information. So we hope that you guys will be able to join us every month. And this, I think this series is going to be ongoing, absolutely, but it's going to be ever-changing as well. I'm watching it. I'm looking into Tony's head, and I'm watching the presentation change as he hears you guys' questions and comments and are challenging him, which is good, which is a good thing, and getting us all to think about these things. And the more comments that we can have, the more aspects of this that we can cover, the more that we're all better off. So keep them coming, guys. So with that, I'll throw out one last call for questions or comments for the TNT Open Forum. Our special guest and co-producer, Tony, KJ4PUJ, who is our emergency security, safety, and emergency communications co-producer. So come on aboard with your questions now.
KJ4PR.
KJ4PR. I know that call sign. Welcome aboard. Another person with experience and knowledge in the area. We welcome your comments. Come on aboard.
Yeah, I just got in a little bit late this evening from work, but I just want to thank Tony for an excellent presentation. I'm glad everything went very well, and I would, again, thank Tony for doing such an excellent job, and look forward to seeing similar presentations in the future, especially for us in the southern part of the United States, where we're more prone to severe storm activity coming up soon. So that's about the end of my comments, and I'll turn it back over to Nat. This is Kilo Juliet 4 Papa Romeo in the Florida Keys.
Oh, roger that. Thanks for being there, and you're echoing the sentiments that we're receiving tonight. Indeed, being well received. We're looking at 20 stations connecting tonight at one time, over 30 with the, I've been kind of monitoring the traffic, over 30 stations have come in. Some of them have left, and that's okay. And 12 of you guys have chimed in with questions and comments, so which is a great and noticeable improvement over the last few weeks. So the word's gotten out, and I guess they wanted to hear you. They were sick of hearing me, Tony, and they wanted to hear you talk tonight. And I'm glad they all came, and I think that we're going to have more and more people as time goes on and word of mouth spreads, and it's a good thing because we're all better off for knowing these things, absolutely. So having made the last call for questions, having heard no responses, we'll close down the official portion of the net, and we'll welcome you guys back next week. I invite you guys to send us your comments and questions to voip@southcars.com. At any time, of course, and we do answer all of our emails in a timely fashion. Before I close it down, of course, I'll pass it back to Tony, KJ4PUJ, for his final thoughts and comments, and perhaps a little preview of what's coming up next week and in the weeks that follow. Over to you, Tony, KJ4PUJ, V2XPL, Montreal.
Well, thank you, Pete and Kevin and Kathy, and those of you who enjoyed the presentation or at least said so in the text box. That means a lot. The one thing I want to emphasize again is that this is going to be a developing series. If there is something that you want to see covered, please, please, please email Gordon, Pete, the South Cars Net, or myself directly. We will gladly include it in the presentation. Since we've covered the basic mindset this evening and what I consider some of the raw basics, I'll let you know that the next time the series comes up, we're going to cover the basics of a go kit, both personal, professional, some extra items, as well as ham-related items, since we all are our amateur radio operators in one form or fashion. But again, I welcome your ideas, your questions, your comments, your concerns. This program is going to be as good as you allow me to make it. So I want your participation. I want your questions. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you, and I will go get you an answer. And I will get back to you. It may take me a couple days because when I respond to you, I want to give you the best knowledge possible from my point of view. And with that, I will say thank you to Pete and to Gordon for allowing me to do this. And 73s to all. And I'm going to turn it back to Net Control, KJ4PUJ from the Florida Keys.
All right, from the Florida Keys. Right back up to Montreal. We thank you for being there, Tony. I thank you for accepting the position of co-producer. Welcome to the team. More than happy to have you on board. Top-notch presentation indeed. And I look forward to the subsequent ones. The next one, by the way, will be May 6th. And you don't have to worry about the dates. Just remember the first Thursday of every month. And we will be sending some reminders in your inbox. And you guys can tell all your friends and your family about it, too, because this concerns all of us. And I'll see what I can do about getting Sharon and maybe the kids to sit in on the beginning of the next presentation, because you've given me personally a lot of food for thought. Although I've been thinking about it for a little bit, but with your words tonight, I think it's just time for me to get off my butt and start doing something about it. So great advice indeed, you know. My mom always used to tell me that, you know, do it now, don't put it off till later. And it doesn't matter what I used to talk about. It would be, do it now, don't put it off till later, because later you won't do it. And, you know, these words come back to haunt me so many years later, but they are good advice indeed. So thank you for being there. I'm at your disposal. If I can facilitate your presentations in any way, as you know, get a hold of me at any time. So with that, I'll say thanks to everyone. Like I said, over 30 stations with us tonight, 20 connected at any one time. Thanks to the 12 stations who chimed in with comments and the many more in the text box. We appreciate your comments. Send us your feedback. We'll be happy to read it on the air, too. I haven't had an email in a long time, so... thanks to you, George, for being there. Text box in the comment, and Tony in the text box reiterates thank you to everyone. So with that, I'll say 7-3s. I'll be shutting down the official portion at 21:40 p.m. Eastern or 01:40 Zulu, and we'll talk to you guys. We'll talk to you guys before next week. I'll be on. I got 4 days off, so I'll be playing a little bit of radio this weekend. And actually, you'll get to hear me again Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'll be starting off the South Cars Net. So I'll be your morning man. So. Thanks to my other great co-producers, Michael and Craig, for being there and supporting us. You guys don't have a choice. You have to come back, so I don't have to invite you. So with that, I'll say 7-3s, everyone, and we'll chat soon. This is V2XPL, the TNT Open Forum. We've been listening to Tony, KJ4PUJ, of course, and 7-3s from both of us. Good night, all. I will be monitoring for the next little while, although right now I need to go refill my juice. Good night, all. V2XPL in Montreal.
Fine bird, she warbles, then she fly, then she never hollers cuckoo to the 4th day of July. Jack of diamonds, I know you from home. Put your hand in my poor pocket, take my silver, take my gold. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, she warbles and she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo till the 4th day of July. Well, I gamble in England, I gamble down in Spain, and I bet you $10, I can beat you next game. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, and she warbles as she flies, and she never calls cuckoo till the 4th day of July. Build me a log cabin on a mountain so high, so I can see my sweet honey as she goes rolling by. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, and she warbles as she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo till the 4th day of July. Sometimes I wonder what makes women love men. Sometimes I sit and wonder what makes men love men. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, and she warbles as she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo till the 4th day of July.